Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine and the best-selling publisher at inspiredlivingpublishing.com. I've been hosting the show for about 2 years now, and sometimes you have a guest that you know you just have to bring back on because she is doing such powerful work in the world. And today we're going to be talking about a really important subject with one of my dear friends, Dr. Margaret Paul, and we're going to be talking about the correlation between junk food and junk thoughts and our spiritual connection. And when I picked up a copy of her book, I was like, oh my God, I wish this was written 20 years ago. So if you've been searching for a way to experience a consistent, at-will connection with your spiritual source of love and guidance, I want you to know it is possible. Today, we'll be talking about how junk food, junk thoughts, and resistance to self-love block at-will divine connection, and how to heal these blocks, empowering you to attain inner peace, joy, and relationship healing. Dr. Margaret Paul is a best-selling author and co-creator of the powerful inner bonding self-healing process and the related Self-Quest self-healing online program, which is recommended by actress Lindsay Wagner and singer Alanis Morissette. Margaret has appeared on numerous radio and television shows, including Oprah. Her book titles include Do I Have to Give Up Me to Be Loved by You? And subsequent titles, Do I Have to Give Up Me to Be Loved by God? And other inspiring and empowering books, including Healing Your Aloneness and Inner Bonding. And her recently published, which I have in my hands and was honored to write an endorsement for, Diet for Divine Connection, Beyond Junk Foods and Junk Thoughts to At-Will Spiritual Connection. Margaret holds a PhD in psychology, is a relationship expert, public speaker, consultant, and artist, and has successfully worked with thousands and taught classes and seminars for over 50 years. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you so much, Linda. I am delighted to be back here with you.
Well, you know I love your work. I love to support you whenever I can. And I remember us having a personal conversation when you told me about this book, and I was like, oh, my God, the time is now for this message. And then when I received the advanced manuscript, I couldn't put it down. I was like, why hasn't this been taught before, right? So thank you for bringing this all to light. So let's dive right in, because as soon as I read the subtitle, Beyond Junk Foods and Junk Thoughts to At-Will Spiritual Connection, I'm like, oh my God, how is junk food and junk thoughts affecting us from connecting to our divine guidance?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's huge, and it actually took me a very long time to put all this together. It's a matter of frequency. Our divine guidance exists at a much higher frequency than we do, and in order to raise our frequency high enough to access guidance, we have to be clean in our food and clean in our thoughts, because the normal American diet, which they now say about 60% of the people are on, and you know, that's a huge amount of people that are eating all this junk, that lowers the frequency so much because it's very, very hard for the body to manage these kind of non-food items that most people eat, which I go deeply into in this book. And then so many people have been trained to operate from a whole lot of false beliefs, and these are the junk thoughts. And they also lower the frequency. And so when we're in, you know, when we're thinking these false beliefs, like I'm not good enough, and everybody's against me, and I can never get anywhere, and I don't belong on this planet, and all kinds of junk thoughts, our frequency is too low. And when we're eating sugar and processed foods and factory farm foods, our frequency is too low to access the higher frequency of our divine guidance, which is always here for us. I mean, it's so amazing. We were not dropped here alone. We have this phenomenal guidance that's here at will when we get our frequency high enough to access it. And this is what took me so long to discover.
Well, you also, as I was reading your book, you also started noticing a pattern, because you've been doing this for 50 years, and you
right.
started to notice a pattern with your clients as well as in your own body. And I mean, you had this whole body of evidence to gather that you gathered over the years. So when you started putting everything together, like when you could see where the blocks were coming from, you must have been so excited to be able to share it, because to clean up our diets is something that we can actually do for ourselves, right? So it's empowering to know we have the power to clean up our diets and our thoughts so that we can connect. That was exciting
yeah.
to me.
Oh, it is. It's very exciting. We have the choice. And for me, this came about because I was a sickly child. I was a sickly young adult, and I just hated being sick. So I started reading books on health. And I changed my diet completely. There was one little health food store in L.A., and I started eating just organic, and that was 56 years ago that I started to do that. And people, I was in college at the time, they called me a health food nut, but I didn't care. And, in fact, a lot of those people now are dead or they're suffering from degenerative diseases, and I don't have any of that. I'm still really, really high energy in my life. And so, you know, they call me a health food nut, but it's too bad they didn't listen to what I had learned. And then at some point, I got on a spiritual search because I was working as a traditional psychotherapist for 17 years. And I really didn't like the results of traditional psychotherapy. I just didn't see people healing on a deep level. And that's when I started to pray for a process that would really help people, that they could take with them, that they wouldn't always have to go running to their therapist. And that's when I met Dr. Erica Chopich, who's my best friend, and she's the co-creator of Inner Bonding. And we had to meet because she had half the process and I had half the process. And so we started putting that together. And the basis of Inner Bonding is that there's only two intentions. One is the intention to protect against pain with some form of controlling behavior, which very much lowers our frequency. And the other is the intention to learn about loving ourselves and others, which very much raises the frequency. So what was happening when I was eating really well is I was trying really hard to connect to spirit. And I would have, you know, moments here and moments there just sort of seemed to happen, but I couldn't do it at will, which is what I really wanted. Well, once I began to understand intention, and I was able to consciously shift from controlling to loving, all of a sudden, I became able to have that at-will divine connection. So I didn't realize at that time that it was both the food and the intention. I just thought, oh, wow, you know, this intention thing is really great, and now I can bring this to my clients, and they will be able to have this kind of connection. But it didn't happen that way. I was able to have it really, really easily, but they weren't. And I finally put it together with the concept of frequency and realized it takes both the clean food and learning to love yourself in order for your frequency to stay high enough to have that at-will divine connection. And so that's when I realized, oh, I have got to write this book because this is so powerful. This is so life-changing. And, you know, there's so many diet books out there, and people try all these different things. But the problem is that they haven't been taught how to tune into what their particular body needs. And this is what I do in the book. I tell people how to tune into what you need, how to get sensitive enough to what's happening within you so that you can get on both the food diet and the thought diet that you need in order to keep your frequency high enough. And as I got into writing the book, I realized, you know, a lot of people do know how to eat well, but they just don't. They go into resistance. Their ego wounded self takes over and they say, well, you know, I don't have to do this. Or, you know, they have some part of them that says, okay, today I'm going to eat well. Then they have another part of them that says, oh, no, you can't. You're not the boss of me. I don't have to do this. And they have this internal power struggle where they go into resistance. And that's where learning the inner bonding process comes in, because that's where you actually learn to change the neural pathways in your brain so that you're not going on automatic. And that's what the inner bonding process does. With practice, it develops new neurons in the higher brain so that you have choice over what you eat and what you think. And that choice is what keeps your frequency high enough to have that guidance. And when you have that guidance, you can ask throughout the day, like I do all the time, what is in my highest good right now? What is loving to me in this moment? I'm asking it all the time. I'm asking it all day long. And all day long, I receive answers. And I want that for everybody. I don't want people to have to go to gurus or to authorities to tell them how to eat and how to live their lives. I mean, sometimes definitely we need to get experts in here. But most of the time, if we're connected to our higher guidance, that information is right there for us. And I want that for everybody. I want everybody to learn to become their own guru.
Oh, I love this. And I know your passion and your mission, your passion for your mission, and I can just hear it in your voice. And after reading the book, I can see why. It's life-changing. So when come back from our first break, Margaret, I want to dive in because you were talking about discovering the diet that's right for you. And I saw that chapter, and in it, you actually give us some ways to learn how to decipher the messages that our individual bodies have to certain foods. And I think a lot of times, and this is my case, and we'll talk about this when we come back from break, is we're so conditioned to feeling a certain way after a food that we're not putting the two together. We're not listening to our body signals.
Right.
So let's talk about that when we come back. And I'll be back in a moment with Dr. Margaret Paul. Visit her at innerbonding.com to learn about her new book, as well as the six-step inner bonding process.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ladies, your story has the power to transform lives. 4-time best-selling boutique publishing company, Inspired Living Publishing, is dedicated to sharing women's stories of hope, love, and transformation with the intention to inspire and empower their readers to believe in the power of possibility. Share your story in an upcoming print or Kindle project. Visit inspiredlivingpublishing.com today.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. With me today is Dr. Margaret Paul, the author of many books, including the just released Diet for Divine Connection, Beyond Junk Foods and Junk Thoughts to At-Will Spiritual Connection. So, Margaret, to continue what we were talking about before the break, you were talking about how different foods affect us, and I actually have little post-it notes in here because one of them, I was like, in the section it says, tune into yourself to determine the effects of foods. It says, notice when your head feels foggy or fuzzy. Do you know for a long time I ignored that symptom? But now I know if I cheat and have carbs, which is how I react to carbs, I'm not saying anyone else will, that's exactly how I feel, very heavy, very foggy. But I always thought that everyone felt that way. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And as a matter of fact, many people do feel that way, and they think it's normal because they've been eating these processed carbs. I mean, it's not just any carbs. Like, there's vegetable carbs, which aren't going to do that, but processed carbs with flour, with sugar, with high fructose corn syrup, all of that, that creates a toxicity in the gut. It creates an imbalance in the gut flora, which creates toxicity, and that toxicity goes right up into the brain. They didn't used to think there was a connection between the gut and the brain, but, I mean, obviously, if you drink alcohol, you know it takes very little time for what you put into your gut, the alcohol, to show up in your brain. I mean, you know, there is that connection. And it's the same thing with eating the processed foods, is that it creates that toxicity and it goes up into your brain. It not only creates the fuzziness, but it creates a lot of the anxiety and the depression that are so common in our society. You know, and then, of course, people, they don't want to be anxious or depressed, so then they take medications, which, you know, of course, that's what they're prescribed. That's what the doctors are giving them because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to manage their anxiety or depression. And then the drugs create more imbalance in the gut because all drugs create an imbalance in the gut, especially antibiotics, but all the other drugs as well. And it perpetuates the problem. And one of the things that I talk about in the book is the causes of depression because it's so common in our society, and that there's basically, what I've discovered is basically three causes. One is unhealed childhood abuse. Many people had bad abuse. They had to dissociate from it. They don't realize that they've had it, but it's affecting them, and they don't know how to heal it. And inner bonding is a fantastic process for healing the past. And then the second is what I'm talking about. It's the toxicity from the foods. They don't realize that when they're eating these processed foods and the factory farm foods and they're taking medications, that they're creating this huge gut imbalance that's creating the anxiety and depression. And third is what I call self-abandonment, which is that most people have never learned how to love themselves. We've basically learned four ways of abandoning ourselves, which is to stay up in our head, which we had to do as kids because we couldn't manage the pain that was in our bodies. But now we live disconnected from our bodies, which is where our feelings are, and our feelings have an enormous amount of information for us. We need that information. But when you operate out of your head rather than your body, you don't even know what you're feeling. And then another thing that so many people have learned to do, that self-abandoning, is they judge themselves. They tell themselves they're not good enough, they're not worthy of love, they're stupid, they're ugly, all these things that people have learned as they were growing up. Well, that's very abusive to oneself. And in fact, people are often treating themselves the way they were treated when they were little, and they just perpetuate the abuse. And then the third thing that people have learned to do, that self-abandoning, is they turn to various addictions. They numb their feelings out, you know, with the internet and you know, their cell phones and with food and alcohol and drugs and caffeine and nicotine and pornography and sex and, you know, being on Facebook or whatever. It's all these ways of avoiding your feelings. You know, and if you imagine a little child who comes to you upset, and instead of addressing the feeling, you go and have a drink, that child's going to feel abandoned. And that's what happens on the inner level. And then the fourth way is that we make other people responsible for our feelings. Most of us grow up believing that our feelings are externally caused. And there are some feelings that are, like you lose a loved one. Yes, that's going to cause you heartbreak and grief. You lose a job you loved. Yes, that's going to make you feel very, very sad. And so, yes, there's life events and there's situations with people that cause us to have pain. But then there's a whole other kind of feeling which we call the wounded feelings. This is anxiety, depression, guilt, shame, anger, aloneness, emptiness, jealousy. These wounded feelings are being caused by self-abandonment. But we think that it's being caused by other people not giving us what we want, not giving us what we believe we need. And so it's like if you had a child, instead of taking loving care of that child, you kept trying to get somebody else to adopt the child. That child would feel very rejected and abandoned by you. And that's what we do on the inner level. We make other people responsible for defining our worth. Oh, if this person likes me, then I'm okay. But if this person doesn't, then I'm not okay. Well, not only is that a very hard way to live, causes a lot of stress, but it's very self-abandoning. And so we end up feeling rejected even before the other person rejects us because we're rejecting ourselves. Now, these four major ways of self-abandonment keep us feeling very badly inside. And there is no way to keep our frequency high enough when we're feeling this badly about ourselves, nor are most people going to be motivated to eat the way they need to eat or even to tune in to what's going on inside their body when they eat the foods that are lowering their frequency. They're not going to be motivated to exercise or get enough sleep or do all the things that they need to do if they were truly loving themselves. And so I realized that even though a lot of people might know how to eat, they're not doing it. I hear all the time, yeah, I know what to do, but I'm not doing it, because they have to learn to love themselves. They have to learn to define their own inner worth before they're going to take loving care of themselves on the physical level. We take care of what we value. You know, if somebody has a motorcycle and they value it, they're going to take care of it. Or they value their car, they're likely to take care of it. But if they don't value themselves, they're not going to take care of themselves. They're going to go into resistance to that. And so that's why it's so important to be not only dealing with the foods, but with the thoughts, and learn to have the thoughts and the actions that are loving to ourselves instead of self-abandoning.
This is a powerful conversation, Margaret, because I know it's really speaking to wounds I've had over the years in regard to body and eating, and I know so many women are probably taking away ahas right now, because this topic, I believe, really affects women, right? This lack of self-care. We take care of everyone else and make up excuses of why we can't care for ourselves. And I'm guilty of that.
I'm guilty of it. Yeah. And one of the things that many women have learned, which is a false belief, is that if I take care of everybody else and I'm really loving to everybody else, then they're going to love me back. But it doesn't work that way. Because the more we give ourselves up, the more we abandon ourselves to take care of somebody else. And I'm not talking about loving care. I'm talking about caretaking, which is very different. Caretaking means that you're taking care of somebody else when they can and need to be taking care of themselves. caring about each other is wonderful. It's a lovely thing to do to care about each other. But caretaking is coming from the wounded part of us, where we're giving ourselves up, we're abandoning ourselves to take care of somebody else's feelings in the hopes that they're going to take care of ours. And it doesn't happen that way, because what happens is that we're actually abandoning ourselves in caretaking, and people tend to treat us the way we treat ourselves. And so the more we ignore ourselves, the more we abandon ourselves, the more that gets reflected in how other people treat us. And so, you know, after a while of caretaking, you just end up being exhausted, you end up being drained, and you're angry, and this is where I was for years, caretaking everybody, and then ending up feeling sick and angry and drained because nobody was giving it back to me. They were taking and taking, and I was giving and giving and wondering what was wrong. But, you know, once I started to practice inner bonding and realize, wow, they're just treating me the way I'm treating myself, you know, that's when everything started to change for me.
And I'm so thrilled that you're here today to talk about inner bonding. And when we come back from our next break, I'd love for you to just give a quick breakdown of what the 6 steps are to the inner bonding process, because it has been changing lives for years. And I want to give them a little more insight of exactly what it is. And we'll be back in a moment. With me today is Dr. Margaret Paul, best-selling author and co-creator of the powerful Inner Bonding Self-Healing Process. And you can learn more at innerbonding.com. We'll be back in a moment.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Experience a homecoming to your heart. In the foreword of Dr. Deborah Riebel's new book, Being Love, how loving yourself creates ripples of transformation in your relationships and the world, Marcy Shimoff shares, the answer to our inner longing isn't finding love, it's being love. The practices that Dr. Deborah presents in Being Love are keys to opening your heart and receiving your divine birthright as a physical manifestation of love. Her techniques, developed over years of successful private practice with her clients and from her extensive training in multiple disciplines, are accessible, compassionate, and effective. Her message is powerful, and if you allow it, will change your whole life. Order your copy of Being Love today at beinglovebook.com and receive over 45 transformational gifts. Being Love is brought to you by Inspired Living Publishing.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, everyone. This is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Dr. Margaret Paul. And right before the break, Margaret, I had asked about the inner bonding process, because it's a powerful 6-step process that you and Erica co-created together that has been changing lives. So what are the six steps of the inner bonding process?
So I'll go through them very briefly. People need to understand that it's actually quite an in-depth process and takes practice, but they can get a taste of it. So step one is that you have to be willing to feel your pain rather than do all of these self-abandoning ways of avoiding it. And to remember that whatever it is we're feeling has information for us, because our painful feelings of anxiety and depression and guilt and shame and anger all let us know we're abandoning ourselves, and our peaceful and full feelings inside let us know that we're loving ourselves, and our existential feelings of loneliness and heartbreak and grief and helplessness over others let us know that there's something to attend to with somebody else in our life. So step one is that we become willing to feel our feelings. We move towards them rather than away from them. We do nothing to numb them out or avoid them. And we make a conscious decision that we want responsibility for them, that we want responsibility for how we're causing the wounded feelings, and we want responsibility for lovingly managing the painful feelings of life. Then in step two, we move into focus in our heart. We consciously open to learning about love, about loving ourselves, about our false beliefs, about what is in our highest good, so that ultimately we're filled with love and we can share love with others. But we have to start with loving ourselves. And so we consciously open to learning about loving ourselves, and we invite the presence of our higher self, spirit, into our hearts, the presence of compassion, of kindness, of gentleness, into our heart. And we teach people how to access that in the inner bonding process. And so that creates what we call the loving adult self. And the loving adult is who we are when we're open to learning rather than protecting against pain, and we're connected with our higher guidance. Then in step three, we're dialoguing. Like if a child comes to you upset, you're going to want to know what's going on. Well, in this case, if it's one of the wounded feelings of, you know, like anger or emptiness or anxiety or depression, we're saying, what am I telling you? How am I treating you? What am I doing or not doing that's causing you to feel this way? We're taking 100% responsibility for the fact that there's something we're doing, something we're telling ourselves, some false beliefs we're operating from that's causing these feelings. And if when we tune in, we find it's the painful feelings of life, we're asking about that. What's happening between, you know, me and this other person or in life that's causing this? And we learn how to manage those feelings. And once we understand how we're treating ourselves, we explore where we got the false beliefs. Like, let's say your inner self, which you might want to call the inner child, it's our feeling self, says, well, you're always judging me, you're putting pressure on me, you're telling me I'm not good enough, I have to be perfect, everybody has to like me for me to be okay, I'm going to end up alone. I mean, all these things that we tell ourselves. Then we go to this programmed part of us, which we call the ego wounded self, that's in the lower part of the brain, in the fight or flight mechanism, that has all of our false beliefs. And we say, you know, where do we get this belief? How do we come to believe that, you know, that we're not good enough or that we have to be perfect or whatever it is that we're discovering? And we explore that. And once we get a good picture, a full picture of how we're treating ourselves and why we're treating ourselves that way, then in step four, we connect with our higher selves again, and we're basically asking two questions. What is the truth about any of the false beliefs that I've uncovered, and what is the loving action towards myself? What is in my highest good? And as you learn to access that higher guidance, you will get the answers to that. And then in step five, you take the action. Whatever loving action you're guided to take in step four, you now take that loving action in step five. And then in step six, you go back into your feelings. And if you're feeling some relief, if you're feeling like a relief of guilt or shame or anxiety or depression or anger, you know that you've taken a loving action. And so these are steps that take practice. They're not instant, but they're not that hard to learn if people are willing to practice. And one of the things we recommend is that people start with step one, just learning to get present in your body. When I first started to practice inner bonding, once Spirit kind of brought this whole process to us, I did not live in my body. I lived in my head. I was tuned into everybody else's feelings. I was not tuned into mine at all. And so it took me practice. And I had to, like, put sticky notes around. And I wore a little gadget called a motivator that would buzz against my body and remind me to check in with my body. And it took practice. It took time before I was living within my body and not just in my mind. Because before that, it was all living in my head and not living in my body. Now, I live in my body so that the moment there's anything other than peace or fullness inside, I'm on it. I'm attending to it. Just like if you have a newborn and you want to be a good parent to that baby, you have a baby monitor on. If you're not with the baby right then and the baby's asleep, you have a baby monitor on so you can hear the moment the baby cries. Well, this is like an inner baby monitor. It's listening on the inner level for whatever's happening so that you can attend to it right away. So if I get any kind of little thing inside that's not peaceful, I immediately say, what did I just tell you? Did I ignore something? What's happening? Tell me what I'm doing right now. And I attend to it immediately so that I don't wind down. I used to wind down into this dark place, and it's really hard to get out of it when you're in that. I don't do that anymore because I've got my inner baby monitor on. I'm listening. But it took a lot of practice to live out of my body rather than just my head.
Ooh, this one's really hitting home. Yeah, for the longest time, for probably the first 30 years of my life, I had a tendency, before I went on the spiritual path, to use the phrase a lot that I always felt that I was disconnected from my body from the neck down. Like it was an appendage that got me through life, but I felt like I was all in, like the essence of who I was in my head, right? That's how big the disconnection was because of childhood issues. When I started on the spiritual path, I had to learn exactly what you just shared. I had to learn how to integrate the two and listen to my body. I'm 55. I'm still learning to listen to my body. And honor it and love it. And once I started to, Margaret, that's when my intuition really opened up. So this conversation is really just touching me and on my own personal journey and reminds me that I still have some work to do, right, because of the self-care, especially around, I would say, still the food stuff. I'm better than I ever was, but I can see from reading the book and having this conversation with you today, that I still have work to do. And I'll be loving and gentle with myself, but thank you for bringing it back into my awareness.
Well, you know, I mean, to me it's ongoing. It's not like we get there. You know, it's an ongoing process of evolving in our ability to be loving to ourselves and to share that love with others. Earlier in my life, I was very addicted to food. I was very addicted to sugar and carbs and all that.
That's me.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It was really, really hard. And even when I realized how important it was for me to eat well, it was very hard. It's like I had to use a lot of willpower in order not to eat the junk. But as I practiced inner bonding and as I got more in touch with my body and really tuned in to how foods were affecting me, and as I learned, this is really important, as I learned to define my own worth, to see my own soul essence, which is who we really are, and, you know, that soul essence within each of us is absolutely fantastic. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's amazing. But because most of us didn't get loved in the way we needed to, we sort of shoved that aside to develop the ego self, to try and be okay, to have control over getting love and avoiding pain. And we lost sight of who we really are inside. Well, part of the inner bonding process is when we learn to connect with our higher selves, we start to be able to see who we really are in our soul essence. And that is amazing. That really changes everything. When I started to see who I am in my essence through the eyes of love, the eyes of my higher guidance, rather than the eyes of my parents or peers or people who judge, that's when everything changed for me. And I started to feel, wow, this essence has been put in my body for me to take care of. This beautiful essence is under my care. And I am privileged to take care of this essence physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, organizationally, within relationships. I'm privileged to be the one to take care of this essence. Well, that changed everything for me because now it was no longer a matter of willpower regarding the food or the exercise or any of that. Now, it came from my deep desire to nurture, to love, to allow my soul to express herself in the ways that she came to this planet to express. We have all been given individual gifts that we came here to express, to offer the planet. But when we don't know our essence, we don't know our purpose. We don't know why we're here. And we can't be that motivated to eat well and all the other things we need to do when we're not loving ourselves completely. And so for me, once I really experienced that spark of the divine that we all have, that is the soul essence, then it was no longer willpower. Then it was the power of love. And I have zero problems today not eating anything that doesn't support my health and well-being. I don't even have to think about it. People are always saying, oh, try this. Oh, this is so good. Oh, it's just a bite. And you know what? I don't even want it anymore. I don't want it because I know how it's going to make me feel, and I know it's not loving to me. And so I don't even have to think about it anymore. And I've learned what works for my body. I've learned to create the foods that I absolutely love. I do not feel deprived at all because I've learned to make the food that is so delicious. And I'm telling you, when people come to my house and they eat my food, they say, oh, my God, this is so good. I forgot what real food tastes like. And so it's not hard. It's not at all hard for me to not eat the junk food at this point. I don't want it.
What you just said really spoke to me. It's your motivation, your personal, intimate motivation is to honor and nurture your essence. That became your motivating factor. And that, those words really resonated. And when we come back from our last break, I want to talk about what other kinds of motivation others may have, right? Because we're all different. Some might be going, I want to live a full life when I'm older. Some may say, well, my family's guilting me into it. You know, there's we have to find our own motivation in order for it to work. So when we come back from our final break, let's talk about that. But yours really spoke deeply to me, so thank you for sharing that. We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Margaret Paul of innerbonding.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine. Inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Me, a cat moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is the one and only Dr. Margaret Paul. And I'll tell you, I'm having a lot of personal ahas here today. So right before the break, Margaret, you had said that for yourself, it was that realization that you were given your soul's essence to honor and nurture, and that was a real pivotal moment for you to realize that that was a sacred gift, and it became your motivating factor instead of using willpower, right, to make the changes.
Right.
That just so spoke to me of, because when I can look at things from that higher point of view, I always can make decisions because I can feel the higher purpose. Where if my family tries to guilt me or any of that, it's never worked. But that really spoke to me, and I wrote it down because I want to sit with it for myself. What are some of the other motivating factors that you've noticed that have helped others take action?
Well, the other motivating factor for me, which is hugely motivating, is the divine connection. Because I know if I eat that crap, I'm going to lose my connection. And so I don't want to lose it. I never want to go back to living the way I lived before I was connected to my higher guidance. It feels like going through life blind. And so I am highly motivated to eat well, to keep my frequency high enough to have that connection. I know if I eat the junk, it's going to tank, and I'll lose my connection. It's just not worth it to me. And then the third thing that has motivated me all along is, like you mentioned, to live well into your older age. And I want to live well until I die. I don't want degenerative diseases. And I'm so grateful that I found out about this. I mean, I'm 78 now, and I'm just full of energy. I've got no degenerative disease. I've got no arthritis, nothing that holds me back. I've got no memory loss, none of that stuff. You know, the people who were making fun of me is when I was younger, mostly dead or they're ill. They certainly are not young and healthy the way I mean, I still feel young and healthy. I've got a ton of energy. And that's been very motivating for me. I want to live a long and healthy life. I don't want to be sick. Like I said, I hated being sick as a kid and a young adult. So those are the three things that have motivated me, and that's what I have found have motivated others. Loving their essence, wanting to stay connected with their higher guidance, and wanting to be physically healthy so that they can do all the things that they want to do in their lives. And as they get to know their essence, see, this is one of the wonderful things that happens. So many people come to me and they say, you know, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. I don't like my job, but I don't know how to find out what I'm supposed to be doing. As they practice inner bonding and as they learn to connect with their guidance, as they learn to see and define their own worth, and as they start taking loving care of themselves, what happens is that there's a blueprint in our essence. We all come in with a blueprint of why we're here, what our purpose is. But that inner child part of us is not going to tell you what it is until he or she trusts that you are going to show up as a loving adult rather than as your ego-wounded self and take the actions necessary to manifest that purpose. And so when somebody has been practicing inner bonding long enough that they have this strong and capable loving adult self, they find that that inner self, that soul self, lets them in on their passion and purpose. And it's amazing. It's like this light bulb goes on, and they start to get excited about life again. It's not always easy, because maybe they have to go back to school, or there may be a lot of things they need to do in order to be living their passionate purpose. But then their life becomes alive and exciting, not just getting through, and not boring, and not getting up and, oh my God, I've got to go to work. See, I never have that. Oh, yay, I've been doing this work for so long. I still love it because it is my passionate purpose. And when we're doing that, we love what we do.
Oh, and that's so how I feel. And that's what
we
want.
I know you do.
That's what we want for everyone, right? That's why you do what you do. That's why I publish Aspire or host this radio show.
Right.
It's to inspire women to live from the inside out. That's my main mission. Right.
Right. And it shows. It shows in your newsletters and everything you do. That passion is there.
And that's what we want for everyone, because we know it's possible. And the reason Margaret and I both know it's possible, because we lived on the other side of it also.
Right. That's right.
Right. We've done the inner work and continue to do the inner work. I love what you said earlier, Margaret. We're never there, right? It's an ongoing process. Every time you think like you have a layer healed, it's like, oh, there you are again, my little friend.
Right.
And I've learned to embrace that and just learn to live and listen. And this conversation today, and reading your book, has just really, it sparked a new way of looking at it. And it's that phrase that you use, to honor and nurture your soul essence. I'm like, whoa. Because when I can see things from a higher vibration, it's always been my motivating factor. Because sometimes with the old stories that we have, especially if it's around food, or for me, like you said, carbs and sugar, it's like, oh my God, it's so hard to give it up. No, it's not. Not when I look at it from this new perspective that you just sparked within me. I believe it will be even easier now. I've done it in the past, but they both snuck back into my diet. And I know intuitively they can't be in my diet. It's a knowing.
Right. You know, I had a really interesting experience the last few weeks in that I almost never get sick. But recently, getting this book out, and I've been contracted to write another book, I was pretty overwhelmed in burning the candle at both ends and not getting enough sleep to get the second book out on time to the publisher. And so I started to get a cold, which I can't even remember the last time I did. Unfortunately, I had to fly into Los Angeles to conduct a 3-day advanced intensive with the cold. And so I took some of the over-the-counter medications so that I could get through it, so I wouldn't be coughing and that I could talk. And I never take these things because I'm so sensitive to them. Well, I got through the intensive fine. But by the time I got home, I had been taking these medications for a few days, and they completely disconnected me from my higher guidance. And that hadn't happened in years. And I'm telling you, Linda, I couldn't stand it. I don't know how people live like that. I was completely mortified. I felt lost. I felt alone. I felt depressed. I knew it was the medications. But, it was going to take time for them to get out of my body. And I drank a lot of water. It took a few days. They finally got out of my body, and I reconnected. And interestingly, it's easier for me to access other people's guidance, which is how I do my work. I access their guidance and my own for them. But I couldn't do it for myself. And so I could still do the work, but I couldn't access anything for myself.
Yeah, you felt the difference. Your tribe, your community, your clients didn't feel it, but you felt
right.
it.
Oh, my God, I felt it. And I'm telling you, I never want to do that again. It is truly like being blind, like being head blind, where you can't tune into what you need to tune into to live your highest life. And I I just never want to go through that again.
No, and that's a perfect example, right, of listening to our bodies. And
right.
I have to tell you, Maga, I am so excited that you joined me today. It was wonderful having you back and sharing your new book, Diet for Divine Connection, Beyond Junk Foods and Junk Thoughts to At-Will Spiritual Connection. And everyone, please visit innerbonding.com. As soon as you get there, you will see information on Inner Bonding as well as the details of how to order this empowering book, and I invite you to do so. Margaret's teachings are life-changing. We have been connected. God sent some. I came online with Aspire, so 2009, Margaret.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been connected, and time flies. So thank you, my friend, for just being who you are and doing the beautiful work that you're doing in the world.
Well, thank you so much, Linda, for being who you are and doing your work and us coming together to support each other and share. I love it.
Well, thank you. So again, everyone, that's innerbonding.com. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.